Besser's wide open. Gets the puck. Tours!
That's the only reason I do these podcasts, is so I can hear all those amazing things about myself. So thanks for having me, and now I'm signing off.
I am honored, thrilled. This is one of the greatest achievements of my life.
I showered and I combed my hair for you.
Well, we appreciate that.
Everybody, I'm Ryan. You can see to my immediate right is my boy Brady out in Burnaby. We got our buddy Dixon Ward. He's back again. My boy Teddy, who's at the office. And we've got a new friend of ours, Dave Haxtell, the first ever coach of the Seattle Kraken. This is the PP1 podcast. It's a special episode. Boys, we've hung out before. But Dave, welcome to the show. Thanks for agreeing to this. This is awesome.
Absolutely. Good to be on with you guys.
It's a huge honor. Congratulations, obviously, for becoming the first ever coach in Seattle Kraken history. Has Russell Wilson reached out to you and congratulated you? I guess the big question, who has reached out to you of Seattle fame?
Nah, you know what? There's just everybody around town there. I mean, from the other sports teams, you know, you get a sense of how, you know, what kind of a sports town it really is. But for me, really, it's just been getting my feet on the ground with the city, with, you know, with our ownership group, with our entire management group and all the players. And that's what's been, you know, first and foremost for me along the way.
Nice. So did Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll call you at all yet?
I have not got that phone call directly yet from Russell or Pete. So they're probably a little busy right now too. So maybe I can connect with them sometime here over the next few weeks.
It's just preseason. They got nothing going on.
Yeah, you're right.
A shorter preseason, so maybe they are a little bit busier.
That's right. They're packing a little bit more in pretty quick.
It's pretty exciting. Ted, fire away. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I guess first things first is, I mean, how different is this to start a preseason compared to where you were in Philly with not having even known what your roster was just a few short months ago versus walking into Philly and knowing who the guys were going to be? I mean, how much does things change? Do you have to log a lot more time earlier? Do you got to make these relationships go a little bit earlier?
Yeah, you know, obviously a little bit different when, you know, the first month, you know, you're speaking in conceptual terms, right? I mean, talking a lot about systems and different things like that. You know, even as a staff, as we got going, once we got a staff in place, we're still, you know, just talking, you know, with a lot of concepts now. Obviously names and faces and personalities and people in place. Now the trick is to get to know everybody. And that's not easy when we're all long distance. You know, the guys will start getting in town over the next couple of weeks. So it's, you know, it's a little bit by Zoom, but, you know, a little, you know, phone calls and an individual communication that way.
Interesting. Yeah, it's pretty interesting dynamic. Especially considering we're all going through, well, like you said, like the Zoom kind of meetings. I know, Ted, you do a ton at work now, and it's kind of the new normal, but then you throw in professional sports and where we're, I mean, even just us playing ball, right, Ted? Like if we were having just kind of rando meetings, it's just not the same as having player coach meet or player meetings or team meetings or what have you. Dixon, I'm sure it's probably a lot of the same kind of thing going with you guys. It's not as much maybe hands-on. You guys are maybe having a bit more video meetings as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think everybody in our industry is back. You know, we have the ability to meet as much as we want in person. However, adding the new way of communicating when you're not together through Zoom or whatever platform you're using, it just adds a little extra bonus and more communication ability especially for our coaches throughout the summer to touch base with their players and the new players coming into our program. and just getting them to feel comfortable before they show up in September. So it is a, it's a tool that we're going to continue to use because we were forced into using it last year. And now we'll just continue to use it as a supplementary part to our program, where we can, you know, even when we were in full lockdown back in the 18 months ago, where we had the ability to get guys like Dave to speak to our kids through Zoom and a bunch of great guests that normally we wouldn't have that opportunity to do. So we learned a lot about the technology and the communication part through the whole process. And so we're going to use some of it moving forward just to be a supplementary part. But there's nothing like in-person communication and meetings. And I'm sure when camp kicks off in Seattle, Dave will feel a lot better sitting across from his group than being on the phone with him all the time, for sure.
No kidding. Brady?
Yeah, I got a question for you. You must be very excited for the Battle of the Border. That's what we're calling it over here in Vancouver. What are you looking forward to about the most?
Well, it's a rivalry that should get going pretty quick, right? I mean, just the proximity of it. And, you know, I think the two fan bases will cross paths, you know, pretty frequently, right? I think there's a lot of travel there back and forth and a lot of commonality. So just that, just getting, you know, getting the opportunity to build new rivalries. And let's be honest, for us, it's going to, you know, everything is going to be new. So our closest neighbor right there, you know, is one that should create some good tension early on, and you know, should create some great competition. And it's a huge thing for the fan base, right? I mean, that's, you know, rivalries are so much about the fans and the fan base and the interest that's generated that way. So looking forward to that. Those are fun, you know, those are fun, and those can build and grow a little bit through the regular season. Certainly we all know they certainly you know, grow and rise during playoffs.
I look at you and I've seen you on the bench, and like, you seem like a pretty, you know, calm, even keel guy. And then I was doing a little bit of research, and HockeyDB kind of says the other. You had 191 penalty minutes in a few years in college, 355 in the minors. So are your motivational speeches in the locker room like Braveheart type rallies? Is that fire? Does it carry over to your coaching side, or are you actually like the complete opposite?
Anybody that knows me, I'm pretty mellow all the way through. So now, you know what, there's a huge competitive side to this game, you know, but there's so many different elements of it, you know, and the speed, the ability and the skill of the game, the competitiveness, the physicality, those things all go together, and they're all little pieces of what make this such a great game, right?
I feel like it's so easy to get fired up rivalry-wise, and you were just talking about the fact that proximity-wise, it's bound to be a rivalry between Seattle and Vancouver. But I mean, what did you guys have for rivalries when you guys were coming up, and even when you were coaching Dixon? You two, I'd be curious, who were your biggest rivals, whether it was a player or a team that you just hated to love to play against?
Well, I'm going to make one comment on Ryan's last point about Dave's penalty minutes and him being an ornery. He wasn't ornery at all. He was just the tough farm boy, and the rest of us guys that were scared to fight just started everything, and we made Dave finish it.
There you go.
So he was the only one willing to do it. So my brother and I would stir up all the action, and then we'd say, okay, Dave, you got to go take care of that guy for us because we're not handling it ourselves. So that's where Dave's penalty minutes came in.
Got to take care of all these skill guys when your best asset as a player is off the glass and out. You got to figure out different ways to stick around, right, fellas?
Wow, this has got pretty tense all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, back to your question, Teddy, the rivalries. You know what? I played on six different teams, and there's always, every team you go to, there's always another team that you play more, or you end up facing in the playoffs, and regardless of where it is, obviously in Vancouver, it was always the Calgary Flames, and in Buffalo, it was the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Philadelphia Flyers, and had many head-to-head matchups with Darcy Tucker over the years, and we didn't like each other one bit. And when I was in Buffalo, but there was, you know, Chris Chelios used to chase me around trying to spear my eyes out on numerous occasions. So
no way.
Anywhere you play against somebody doesn't like you, and guaranteed you don't like somebody back, but it's the organizational rivalries that become the fun part, not the player to player ones.
Awesome.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, I got one here.
Okay, I was just gonna. I one quick one because I'm sure this.
Yeah, go ahead.
This will be a quick answer. So you coming from Philly? Pretty interesting fan base out there. Pretty interesting organization. But the most interesting thing going on in Philly is Gritty. Do you guys keep in touch still?
On a regular basis, yeah. You know what? When Gritty was introduced, he scared the heck out of my kids for the first week. Like everybody else, they kind of figured it out and started to like this guy.
He's unreal.
He's a tough guy not to like with that personality. He's become larger than life out there.
I have a feeling you weren't the only person whose kids were scared of Gritty. That guy is nightmare fuel.
No kidding. I'll follow up the question and then I'll get that other one as well. I don't think Seattle has a mascot yet. Do they have any plans on releasing one before the season starts, or where are you guys at with that?
That's you know what? That one's above my pay grade.
Gritty 2.0, right?
You know what? If you take a look at everything that's been that's been kind of rolled out here over the past few months, it's been unbelievable. Mm. For me to watch from the outside, even before I was hired, all the way through, everything that's happened since, the organization has done an unbelievable job. They get some brilliant people that are working on all the different areas, from the way our jerseys turned out to the rollout of the name and the logo and all of those things. It's been amazing. So there's not many details that are being missed.
Cool. All right. Well, my other question for you guys was team identity is obviously a big thing in the NHL. And Seattle maybe doesn't exactly have an identity yet. How much does that lie on you as a coach, or is it the players, or is it kind of a whole group thing? And what kind of identity do you want to have in Seattle?
Well, part of the identity is, obviously is built within your players. And that's, that starts with our GM, that starts with Ron Francis and our entire management staff and the scouts that did so much work going into not only the expansion draft but free agency and obviously into the first entry draft. So that's obviously that's a big piece of where it begins. When you look at our group, I think you're going to find a real common theme of competitiveness, of intelligence, of pace and ability within that group. So that's part of the identity now. Culture, that's another thing that we build right from day one, right? That's a little different. That's you can use a lot of different terms there. But culture is built from, Wardo said, it's one thing to have phone conversations or Zoom meetings. It's another thing to start meeting people in person, interacting on a daily basis and setting the standard. So that's my term is, I've been asked the question an awful lot about, what are the goals, comparisons to Vegas, things like that. It's about our own standards. So our own standards, our own culture, our own identity.
Hmm. Love it. I mean, we were talking a little bit about the selection process there. I mean, how much were you involved in that? I mean, was it all left up to the pro scouts? Did they lean on you for previous experience with players? Because obviously you have a lot of it with guys in the league. And was there guys that you guys drafted that you had a heavy ear in saying, hey, this is a guy I know, let's bring him over here. I think he can do well for our team.
If I had previous experience or prior knowledge of a player, both whether it be skill set on the ice or person and personality off the ice, then obviously I gave my input. But beyond that, it was the pro scouting staff, the management staff, all the people that had done so much work on that for a long period of time. So those are it was for me. I was really appreciative to have a seat at the table. My input, I made sure it was, when I was asked for input, obviously I was there with it and, wanted to make sure I had real input anytime, that I did open my mouth.
Hmm. I love this. These are great answers. There's actual thought behind these. There's some coaches in the league that, I don't know, like we've got one in Vancouver that he's very tight-lipped about some stuff. So we do appreciate that you're kind of given these. Sarah Ayers, I'm sure you've heard of her husband, Dave, did a little bit of mop-up duty in Toronto just over a season ago. It was a pretty exciting night. Especially if you kind of tuned in randomly and realized, wait, who's going in net? And we all saw how that ended. It was pretty awesome. She's a good friend of the show. She had asked, what makes you, or what are you the most nervous about heading up an expansion team this year?
nervous. I don't think there's anything I'm nervous about. I think there's, I mean, it's an unbelievable opportunity. It really is, to be part of a group that's starting something from the bottom up and building a team and an atmosphere and a culture from the ground up, to have the opportunity to set, you know, to set who we are in the city of Seattle, to have an opportunity, to, you know, to grow the game in the city of Seattle and become what I think, is going to be one of the great spots in the NHL to play. You know, there's so much to it. For me, rather, I mean, there's, I guess I haven't thought of one thing that's that I'm really nervous about. There's all kinds of challenges, but the opportunity is much, much greater. If you can look at it either way, right? Look at it as a challenge or you know, a great opportunity. I guess I tend to look at every, you know, every piece of it as an unbelievable opportunity. And we're just trying to be very careful in taking one piece at a time, making sure we get every detail and address every detail. And you know what? There's going to be some things along the way that, you know, that we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to adjust as we go, right? You can make all the greatest plans in the world. And on day one, we're probably going to make a small adjustment at camp on one or two things, you know, that we're doing in a small way that day. And that'll carry through all the way, I'm sure, through an NHL season. That's how it is.
Hmm. There you go. I had kind of a follow-up actually to that, just as you mentioned, training camp. So on a other podcast last week, Travis Green stated that his team's going to be figured out a little bit sooner this year as they kind of want to get things going and start working on systems. With an expansion team, and as you kind of said, there's probably a little bit more of a feeling out process. Obviously, you've coached in the NHL before, but being that you're kind of getting this new group of players, and obviously new head coaches and what have you, have you reached out to a guy like, you know, Gerard Gallant or someone just that who's been through that specific process, or are you just going to kind of approach it the same as you have, you know, from the other teams?
Yeah, I've talked to different people, and I haven't talked directly to Turk about this. I've talked to him about other different things along the way here over the past, you know, couple months through a couple of phone conversations. But, you know, I think there's a balance between, you know, obviously giving opportunity and trying to learn and discover as much as we can about, you know, new players, as our staff is new and our, you know, that group of players is new together and how that's going to mesh. We also have to be careful about, you know, not trying to, you know, look at everything. There's not enough time for that. So, you know what, we've had a lot of discussions as staff. We've had, you know, a ton of meetings as a staff. And as we go into camp, we will have the different things that we want to look at very much in line. And, you know, it's six exhibition games. It's really not that many practices. So there's going to be a balance there between looking for new and different things and how everything can fit together, along with a plan that we're going in with that we feel, you know, will have a chance for success when it comes to line combinations, D pairings, different things, you know, that we want to come out of camp with.
Interesting.
Great. Have you had a chance to spend some time with your draft picks, Matty Beniers and, you know, Riker Evans, and learn a little bit about those guys and what kind of players they could possibly end up being for you?
Just, you know what, just through talking to our staff and, you know, and through different people and, you know, looking at some video and things like that. And obviously, you know, some of those picks will be at camp. Others will not be at camp. So we'll take that one step at a time. Most of my focus has been on, you know, the players that that we've picked through the expansion draft. You know, the young guys obviously coming up are a huge part of our future, whether it be the near future or a year or two down the road. Those guys are huge pieces of it too. So trying to learn their game as well.
Nice. I got a question. Obviously, you're excited to get together with the whole team. You're excited to coach them all. But is there maybe a specific player that stands out that you're maybe a little more excited to get to know and get to coach?
I don't know if there's one guy. You know, obviously, I had a chance to meet, you know, a few of the guys when they were in for the expansion draft, the six guys that were there. Those guys were, I mean, it was, you know, it was a short period of time, and I think it was a real whirlwind for them, but it was awesome, you know, to get, you know, get a chance to spend a few minutes here and there throughout that 2-day period with and around them. But, you know, when, you know, just in talking to, you know, some of the guys on the roster, like there's, you know, there's so many quality human beings there. I mean, to have a conversation with Mark Giordano, it doesn't take very long to understand why he's so well respected in and around the league, not just in Calgary as a leader, but, you know, as one of the, you know, real good players and the great human beings in this league. So there's a number of guys. There's so many different personalities there, you know, that are going to be really interesting to get to know and have the opportunity to work with. So I wouldn't say there's one guy, but, you know, guys like that are, they're an absolute, it's an absolute pleasure to get to know players, you know, in that way, guys of that stature, you know, learn from them and also try to find ways to help them, you know, to be at their very best. So there's, you know, there's a number of guys.
So do you think that Seattle will have a captain come puck drop, or are you guys maybe thinking about going with alternatives this year?
You know, that's still a discussion that, you know, that we'll continue to have. What we will have is a really good leadership group, 100%. Right now, that's where my focus is at. And I think, you know, when you look at some of the guys on our roster, I mentioned, you know, one with Gio, and, you know, you got Schwartzy, you got Everly. I mean, there's a ton of guys there that, you know, are capable of being part of a really strong leadership group. And ultimately, regardless of, you know, who ends up with the letters, that leadership group is going to be a real important piece of our hockey team.
For sure. Thank you.
Dixon, I got a question for you. So when everybody gets to camp and they, you know, you guys all start interacting, what are they going to find out about Hack here? That maybe
this is where I was gonna go with
that
this.
That maybe people don't know, like, is he like secretly good at karaoke? You know, does he show up in like cowboy boots, or like what's something that, you know, he's probably like, it's okay to share, but like maybe something kind of embarrassing that people might find out? Or
well, for sure they'll never see him with one hair out of place. There's no question about that. He owns stock in Salon Selective's hair product.
They've done well. They've done well. So
that's real, right?
Yeah. So yeah. That's nothing to frown about.
So we know that. And no, I think what they'll realize right away is Dave is the kind of guy that really honest and upfront with people, but very, very respectful. It doesn't matter if you're the, you know, a guy that's going to be in the American League, or if it's the general manager of the team, he's going to treat you the same. And Dave's always, you know, especially back in college, his goal was always to give these kids the opportunity to be at their very best, as he had already said before. From my standpoint, my experience with coaches that enable their players to be better and let the players know that that's their goal are the most successful ones. And you can't impose your will on a young player or an old player just because you're the coach. It's a relationship building process, and Dave's proven over the many years as he's been a coach that that's one of his strongest points, is building those relationships and the respect that he gets from his players long after he doesn't coach them anymore. That's the real deal, is having guys that around the league that played for him in college that still have high regard for him. That's the kind of coach Dave is, and I'm excited to see and how quickly they bring that team together in Seattle. Obviously, I looked at the schedule. You got a whole bunch of games on the road early, which I think is probably a good thing for a team like that to be able to spend some time together on the road early. I think you play Vancouver as your home opener is against the Canucks. So that'll get things kicked off in October.
Guaranteed
a lot of
fun.
And more importantly, I've looked at the schedules to see where I can get down and see a Kraken and a Seahawks game in the same weekend. So hopefully Dave's got an in with Pete Carroll so I can get some box seat with the Seattle Seahawks game.
We could carpool, you and me. I think we're good enough friends now. So.
Yeah, get in line. You know how many people have asked me if I've had connections now with the Seahawks?
So that's a great point. You kind of bring that up. So you guys go way back, obviously. I thought it was just college, but it sounds like it was midget that you guys actually kind of met each other. So it's inevitable. Seattle at some point is going to get an outdoor game because it's a major U.S. city, and the two stadiums that are likely to get one are beyond amazing. I think all three of us on the show have been to at least one of them, if not both. I'm speaking maybe for everybody, maybe not. If you could choose, and I mean, just as a fan, baseball stadium or football stadium, which one of those speaks to you? Lumen Field or T-Mobile? Where would you, if you could pick, if they said, Dave, we need, you're the final vote, which stadium and why, man?
I haven't been in either of them, but I think I'd go football on that one. And, you know, hey, ask me in a month after I've been in both stadiums, hopefully. But right now, that would be my thought process. Just being able to see the atmosphere in that, you know, in that building, you know, during games, the pitch of the stands, everything else. For me, that you know, maybe it's because of familiarity and being able to, you know, have you know, seen games in there probably more than the other. That'd be my choice.
Okay. Are you going to bring Dixon along with you? Let him hang out on the sidelines there?
Oh, of course. I'd probably on the bench.
You didn't get my resume. I sent my coaching resume in, but I didn't get my boss's mail.
Check the junk mail.
Went through my junk mail. I don't know how I missed it.
Yeah. He's you're busy enough, Dixon. You don't need to be in the NHL right now. You got stuff on the go. So
Between you and Pete Carroll, I mean, there is a very, very, very good hair combo going on there. So you think you guys got the market cornered there?
I got work to do.
But I mean, you coached in Philly. I mean, you've been a coach, you know, for many years, and you feel like obviously you're a pro at that point. You can kind of just go wherever and apply your trade. And every organization is a little bit different. Can you think of something maybe that Seattle does that you noticed that stood out to you right away that maybe was a little bit different than anything else that you've experienced anywhere else?
Well, not necessarily just the organization, but it's a different feel. Being on the West Coast, being in Seattle, it's a different feel, you know, than you know what we had in Philadelphia, what we had on the East Coast there, even a different feel than in Toronto the last couple of years. You know, it's a relaxed atmosphere. It's very, you know, the area, you know, it's an amazing city in terms of, you know, the scenic area, the mountains, the water, everything. But it's an intense sporting community, yet there's this laid back feel to it. And I think that makes it a pretty cool spot, especially for players to come to and be really excited to play within that city and play for that city.
Wicked. I'll fire another question for you. Obviously, we're a Canucks-based podcast, and in the expansion draft, you guys picked a guy named Cole Lind. Yeah. Can you tell me what you're excited about his game and maybe what he has to improve on to be a good NHL player?
Well, you know what? I think, you know, good young player, right? And he played a few games. We saw him this year a little bit, you know, from the other side. You know, probably like any player, it's a consistency in what you do and finding your role and being able to do it each and every night. And that's the real challenge, you know, when you look at guys that are able to step into the NHL as younger players and then hold that role for a long period of time. It's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of work that goes with that. And for me, it always comes back to just the everyday consistency of being able to bring that piece of the puzzle that's important for our team day in and day out. And that's, you know, that's going to be one of the good things for, you know, players, you know, like him coming to town. You have an opportunity to, you know, to start, you know, really, you know, from scratch one more time and go out and carve out that role for yourself.
Love it. This is going to be such an interesting team. I think a lot of British Columbians have been kind of just waiting for Seattle to get an NHL franchise. I think it's been inevitable. The NHL needs it. I mean, the rivalry's right there. The city's there. They've got all the amenities that an NHL team would need. And I mean, especially after losing the Seahawks, the Supersonics, I apologize. That was a big blow. And I think eventually they'll get that team again. But to get an NHL team, I think, is a big deal. But the big question that you have to answer this, and it might be tough. Year one, Seattle Kraken, playoff team or no?
Well, I've said it all the way along, set our own standard. And yeah, if you think we're coming into camp, with anything else in mind, you're wrong. That's absolutely on top of mind. Now, that's not a small statement. That doesn't being a playoff team in National Hockey League is really, really difficult. There are absolutely no guarantees there for many. I mean, you can probably pick a handful of teams right now today that you can, with pretty good probability, say they are a playoff team. But you know, the trick is to take it day by day, do the work, build a team, make sure that you know your performance is consistent enough throughout the regular season to withstand some of the ups and downs and the challenges of an 82-game schedule. Put yourself in a position to be one of the 16 teams that gets an opportunity to play for the Stanley Cup in the spring. So, yeah, that's our goal, 100%.
Beautiful. That's the answer. That's the answer I want. I like that. It's brutal, brutal honesty, but it's fair too. I think when Vegas came in, they kind of picked apart how that whole process went, and you know, kind of exposed some loopholes in the system and how they were able to get pick compensation for not picking teams or for picking or players picking certain players. So I think there is maybe a little bit of that, but I think Seattle's gone about it a similar way, I guess, just because you have a bigger group to choose from. Dixon, we talked about this. You know, there's two of you guys exposed when you know the. I guess two times ago went around. So I said at the beginning, I wasn't a fan of how the expansion draft went for Seattle. And after listening to Dixon and really looking over this team, I started to look over what this team has. And there's a lot of depth. And I think there's a lot of unknown because, you know, we have no idea how whatever that final roster looks like. We have no idea how they're going to gel. All of a sudden they could be, you know, this team that nobody saw coming and just run roughshod out of nowhere, or, you know, they can be right in the mix or, you know, or something else. So I think it's going to be kind of exciting. Dixon, I guess one maybe question for you. You look at this team and you look at your buddy Dave and you see that this franchise, you know, it's a big deal this season. What do you see with the Kraken this year, and what kind of excites you about this team aside from your buddy coaching it? Like what's kind of your hope for this team? What do you feel on this one?
Well, as I think I talked to you guys about this last time, the back end, the decor that they've put together, I think is better than on paper half the teams in the league at this point. And you know, knowing Dave well enough, that's a very, very important part of the game is to be able to defend and to give yourself a chance to compete every night by defending well. The back end looks to me to be really good, which is, in my opinion, the way you win hockey games. And we see it in the playoffs every year. The back end becomes really important for all those teams that make it deep into the playoffs. The signing of Grubauer in goal, I think, is a very strong signing. You have to have that ability to stop pucks on those days where you're not going to score them. The Schwartz signing, I've you know, known and watched Jaden Schwartz since he was a player at Colorado College and a World Junior star years ago, and I've always liked him as a player. He's a very underrated player. The Wenberg kid out of Florida, I think, is a terrific signing, and with a bigger role, he's going to be able to lead offensively. And then there's unknowns, right? If Jordan Eberle can score you 30 goals, and then he's the new Jonathan Marchessault of Vegas, and he's obviously got the ability to do it because he's that skilled, and he's proven he could run a power play in the National Hockey League up front. So I think there's a really good balance there, and I know everyone loves to say, well, they don't have top line guys, they don't have this, they don't have that, but when you get into the situation. When you need a committee to get the job done, the committee can be stronger than the sum of two parts, as we see in other teams around the league. One of them not too far over the Rockies in Northern Alberta has a tough time putting that together. So what I look at, and obviously I'm biased because I obviously want Dave to be super successful there, but I like the group that they put together and will continue to add pieces whenever they feel it's necessary to do so to get stronger. And that's just the point of building a franchise. And it's going to be exciting to see for sure.
There you go. You got the endorsement of Dixon Ward.
All right, I got a kind of a fun question for you, Dixon. It might be a pretty easy answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Game seven, or even the first game they're playing, or game seven. Let's go game seven. Canucks versus Seattle. Who are you cheering for?
It certainly won't be the Canucks.
There you go. Eh? I figured.
Sorry, it's been Canuck too long. Alumni, former fellow Canuck alumni, but yeah, that's the. Absolutely got to cheer for my friend Dave over my friend Travis.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
Oh, Ted's mic'd. Cheers. You're on mute there. Finish it up, buddy.
But he's not on mute.
Oh, you good now? Oh, he's in.
We've lost him.
Well, I'll try to wrap up here, and Ted, if your voice kicks in, then so be it. Dave, thank you, Dixon, as well. Thank you guys so much for coming on. This has been an absolute pleasure. We're all excited for you. This is a big deal. I mean, as we're all hockey fans here, and some of us have played. One of us has played in the NHL. As far as our group, anyway, it's been a real pleasure. We do thank you so much for coming and taking time out of your, clearly busy schedule. You've got a lot on the go, and we do appreciate that you agreed to do this because this is a pretty big guest for us, and we're definitely cheering for you. Maybe even some of those games against Vancouver, because we've all seen the team that we cheer for, and sometimes it is easier to cheer.
Okay,
for
let's not go crazy
oh,
here.
Oh, hey, oh, Ted's back to
hey,
kick me
back.
Out for a final second. Ted, what did you have to say before we head out?
I don't know if the moment's passed. I had a North Dakota question, but we could be past that now.
What'd you have?
I just was, kind of in awe looking at this panel. I mean, there's you and there's Dixon. I think about, guys like Stetcher and Besser, and even, watching guys like Drake Caggiula come in, free agents, all these guys. I mean, how long before we start seeing North Dakota's players come into the Kraken lineup, and what is it about that program that's just done so much for so many players over the years? Then there's something in the water down there. I don't know, but I mean, obviously it produces nothing but pros, and I'd just like to hear a little bit about it.
Tradition is a real powerful thing, and when you're as a young guy coming into the program, you learn very quickly that you're living up to much, much greater things than just yourself. I think that has a way of leveling your thought processes and focusing your thought processes, and one of the things that it does for sure within the program at North Dakota is it demands that you be a selfless teammate, and I think those are some of the little things that that help young players stay focused on the pathway of their development, right? Doing it in conjunction with a team mindset as well as an individual goal set, obviously to improve and to reach the next level. Those two things, tend to run side by side, I think, within the program. And that's why you see a lot of great human beings that have been part of the program and are part of the program and, find their way into the National Hockey League.
Great. I love that. I love that the first comment was great human beings, not just great hockey players. That's awesome. Thank you.
Takes skill, and it takes character. No question about it.
Well, the Canucks have had a few of those guys, and we're quite happy that at least one of them stuck around. Dave, like I said before, thanks so much for coming on. Dixon as well. Again, you guys have busy schedules, and this is totally appreciated. So on behalf of all three of us, have a wonderful evening. Thanks, guys. This is the PP1 Podcast with Seattle Kraken head coach Dave Haxtell and our good buddy Dixon Ward. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care.